Welcome to Solutions from the Muniverse. That's when we recorded in the bus in the San Francisco Muni system.
We haven't tried that yet. Maybe we should do it. We could do that.
Solutions from the Muniverse. Little side quest episode.
I mean, if you're taking the Muni bus, you're probably going to run into some crazy people. Two people recording a podcast with headphones and microphones is not the craziest thing you're going to see in your day.
It'd be great. It's kind of a remarkable thing, right?
We could have a third one set up and just in case we want a hot mic.
Is this all not
totally portable?
It's totally portable.
Totally
portable. We should do Solutions from the Muniverse.
I'm down.
Let's do it. Okay, we'll do that next week or sometime.
I was like, don't lock us in for next week.
Yeah, okay.
But
sometime this year.
Look forward to that.
2023. Everybody. Year of the Rabbit. It'll be Year of the Rabbit goal.
Is that what we're in?
Happy Year of the Chinese Rabbit? New Year's, everyone. Well, that's where we're recording it on Chinese New Year's.
Is
Lunar
this?
Lunar New Year. I guess the Jews, the Muslims, the Chinese, they all said this is their New Year. Any lunar calendar.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, happy Year of the Rabbit, everyone.
Yeah, happy Year of the Rabbit.
Sweet.
You know what rabbits like to do?
Eat carrots?
That's what you got to do this year. Keep it PG. Let's keep it PG.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Well, welcome everyone. I'm Scott Maupin.
I'm Adam Brous.
And welcome to Solutions from the Multiverse.
We're coming in hot with a solution. Ooh. Okay, Scott.
Yeah.
People are going to be so up in arms about this one.
Okay.
Everybody gets so bent out of shape about food. People really make a big part of their identity, like the food that they eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm vegetarian, I'm vegan, I'm not vegetarian, I love meat, I love meat lovers pizza, right?
Well, food's this thing you have to engage with regularly all the time or else you die. Like you just have to, you got to pick a lane with food. You may not have to do that with, you know, sports or music or anything else, but you have to do food or else
I grew up in Wisconsin where football was equally as important as food.
That was crazy. I could see that.
Although what I did was I was like a closeted, not interested in football person. So I would just say, I would go to the games to sell peanuts and Coca-Cola. So then I still got to be like, yeah, I went to the game, but then I was just like selling peanuts and Coca-Cola. And I really liked the band, the Badger, UW-Madison, Wisconsin Badger band is amazing.
Yeah. Like college bands that go to football games, they're like super skilled at getting people hyped up and like keeping it going, especially when there's like long stretches of nothing happening on the field, the band swoops in.
Like I could have made extra money during the band presentation, but I wouldn't. I would stop and sit on the stairs and just watch the band do their thing. It was like mental.
Are you talking like on the field when they're doing like their maneuvers and like doing different?
Yeah, incredible.
I did marching band in high school, and that is a product of hours and hours of practice in the summer.
Tons of practice. People would often say that the band has more hours of practice than the team, than the football players.
Which not been on a football team, but there was a bunch for band.
We got to do the solution.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the solution. If you want to have the most environmentally friendly diet, what diet should you have? What does everyone say?
The word in my head is veganism.
Veganism.
Right?
Veganism is the most environmentally friendly diet.
But now you're going to tell me that's not true.
It's not true. The most environmentally friendly diet I will introduce now, it is the first time it's ever been introduced. A sustainitarian. And a sustainitarian must do just one thing, which is they must be the most environmentally friendly, which means ecologically they must have the lowest footprint, right?
You're not going to tell me that people need to start eating their own poop, right?
Okay. Well, we're going to get there.
Oh, no.
Let's not jump into the deep end right off the bat.
Oh, no.
No. So you want to have so environmentally friendly means you have the lightest ecological footprint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
most people think, well, if I just cut out all animal products, then therefore I must be having the least ecological footprint. That is false. The way to have the lowest ecological footprint might include having fewer animal products, but it does not preclude eating meat. Mm-hmm. Also, the main ecological cost to food on the planet is actually not the raising of animals and killing them, but the waste of food. Food waste is the most damaging thing to the environment, not raising animals. Obviously, wasting animal meat would be the absolute worst because it's this huge costly thing and then it goes bad. You know, spoiled meat would be the absolute worst outcome.
But you're talking like just just wasted food in general. Any stuff we don't eat, stuff we throw in our...
That's the most costly thing because it's compost produced bins. With water. It's transported. The soil is fertilized. There's all these processes that happen. Tractors are driven over. It's harvested. Then it's shipped. Then it's refrigerated. And then it goes bad. It gets thrown away.
Yeah. It's the same amount of resources for the good food and the food that goes with. Right. Imagine a company made a bunch of computers and then they took like 30% of them and they're like, I don't know, just smash these and just waste them. It's the same amount of, you're like, oh, but it took the same amount of energy to make
right.
Like
right.
They're good to go. It's, it's a, with food, it's a distribution problem, right? Or
it's a distribution problem. It's also just a people consumption profit pattern. It's just a consumption pattern thing. You know, people feel, okay, I've seen, and I promise you, you know, you've seen this too. People feel like it's a virtue to like buy vegetables. Like it's virtuous because they're not buying meat or because it's healthy or something, or because, and because they think vegetables must be not bad for the environment. They buy these vegetables, they take them home, they go bad. And then they throw them away. And then they're like, and then they buy more vegetables.
They're like, this week.
And they're like, I'm a
this
vegan.
This week I'm doing
I'm a vegan, you know, or whatever. They don't, maybe they're not a vegan. But anyways, that whole idea of like virtuousness. And then what, basically that's the idea is people who are vegan think they're having the least environmentally impactful diet. They're not. Sustainitarian would be the most impactful or least impactful on the environment, most impactful on conserving the environment. And I would love to meet a sustainitarian. I am not a sustainitarian, although I'm influenced by it because now that I think about it, I'm sort of trying to be more of a sustainitarian.
Mm. It's gotta be, I mean, it's super hard in a city, especially. I mean, the more city you are, the harder that feels like to
navigate your choices. Well, the first thing is you just want to minimize waste. That's the key thing. So the key thing is don't ever have food go bad in your fridge. That's like the number one thing.
So this is where my whole lifestyle is probably in the wrong direction because when I lived in Japan, everyone went to the store every couple of days or something. You know, you don't have giant refrigerators. You had small refrigerators and you filled it with stuff and then emptied it and then filled it and emptied it regularly. But now I definitely am like, oh, I go to Costco and I buy large amounts of things. Right. And, you know, I've got 20 oranges sitting at home on my table and that's great. The first, I'll get through a ton of them, but I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I won't get through a couple, but that's just a function of if I was going and getting oranges every day, a couple at a time, I'm much better at using the stuff I'm getting and getting the stuff that I'm going to use and way less food waste. I think part of that is the shift in shopping and stuff to big company or to big grocery stores and buying lots at once. Yeah.
And just like, I think like using your freezer really effectively is awesome, you know, but one thing about sustainitarian that is, I think a kind of a part that people would, I mean, obviously the controversy on this thing I just made up is raging, but
they're banging on the windows. Yeah, just like, let us in. We got to yell about this.
But here's the thing. Sustainitarians can eat meat.
Mm.
And the reason why is because first of all, if meat is going to go to waste, it shouldn't. Like you should eat it.
Okay.
The second thing is if you had meat, what people don't really realize is that some meat production produced a certain way, especially grass-fed beef or, you know, well taken care of like fish, sustainable aquaculture, fish, grass-fed beef, you know, kind of free range sort of well-fed, you know, naturally fed chickens.
Right.
Actually are good for the environment and are more, are a sustainable form of food because they use tillage land. They use land that could not be used for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Trees won't grow there. Maybe it could be a wetlands, which would be better for the environment. But, you know, if it already is like grassland and it's not going to turn into wetlands, you didn't dry up a wetlands to make it, right? Like the whole northwest of America is this huge grassland. If you just to stop raising meat, you literally just are saying, we're essentially wasting the opportunity to upcycle that grass into a high protein source of food for humans to eat.
Okay.
So you can eat grass-fed beef and sustainable aquaculture as a sustainitarian. But the number one thing you need to do is not waste food. That's like the key thing. So yeah, I invite the criticisms of our vegan brethren.
You're not going to get any of that. Vegan people don't like to talk about food or diet stuff at all.
They keep to themselves usually about that stuff.
So do you see this extending up to, I mean, there's got to be limits where like you're not trying to eat your own banana peels or anything. You're like, this is the...
I mean, you should compost.
Yeah.
Because that goes then to soil, which then farmers use again.
But you just don't want stuff that could have been food to end up in a can somewhere, like rotting.
Yeah, it shouldn't rot.
Yeah.
No, and canning's great because canning is a form of preservation.
Well, no, I meant like a trash can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, waste, just all food waste. So anytime food is going to waste, that's the real sin. Like, so that's the real thing to avoid.
A sustainitarian, if they go on like a cruise, and if they were able
that's
to figure out,
hard to do.
If they were able to figure out the whole carbon imprint of that, but whatever. If they go on the cruise, then when it's time to eat, they're going through the buffet chamber and they're just taking the plates that other people have left.
Yep.
They're not going
that's
to the
right.
buffet at all.
I mean, if you were really a really radical sustainitarian,
like, you done with that burger?
Yeah.
I'll just slide right in here.
If you were really a radical sustainitarian, you would do what I sometimes do. And I get in trouble for this with my girlfriend when I'm at the movie theater where they serve dinner.
Okay.
After the movie's over, you just look around. Half the plates are full of food still. Oh, no. I'll be like, man, look at those chicken nuggets. Boom. Yummy. And my girlfriend's like, I disown you. You are a monster. And I'm like, no, I'm a sustainitarian. All this food is going to waste. All of this food is going to waste.
So now I understand where this idea originally came from.
Yeah, this is where it came from. I had to fight off.
You were defending your psyche in a moment of crisis.
Yeah. You know what? There is a Japanese concept that's important. That's probably the most important thing for this, and that's orioki, the just enough, to only take enough food.
Yeah.
Rather than ever, if you take too much and then you don't finish, that's the worst you can do. That's the worst thing you can do.
Yep. Yeah, that was, I remember that being a thing, like a mentality difference between that we would talk about in Japan.
In Japan, yeah.
Sustainitarian.
Yeah. And you know what the best thing is? Doggy bags, right? Because doggy bags not going to waste.
I would be more openly looking down on you for the movie theater thing, but I have literally done that where I'm sitting at a table in a crowded restaurant and there's like another table right next to me and people ordered some delicious fried mushrooms and then did whatever they were going to do and left this whole basket of fried mushrooms. And I'm like, I have watched nothing happen to those mushrooms this entire time. and sitting there.
And you were truly watching them.
Well, and we were like, should we just grab those? And it was going to be like, I don't know. Someone's going to come over here and clear them. Like, grab them.
Oh yeah. You grab them. Good.
Free mushrooms. So I've done it. Good. I can't poo-poo your instincts.
Speaking of poo-poo, sustainitarians also eat their own poop.
Wait, no.
Yeah. We had to get to that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay. I'm out again. I'm back out. No, thank you.
Okay, so I've been a sustainitarian in different ways in my life. When I was in college, I would dumpster dive hard.
What kind of cool stuff did you find?
Oh my god, I got the best stuff. I would go. I was a waiter. Oh, I would also eat of people's food. People who are listening to the podcast are going to start recoiling. They're going to be like, "This guy is just a monster."
You have to separate those two things a little bit more from saying I would dumpster dive and then I would eat a bunch of food. People are getting the idea that you're pulling like rotten cheeseburgers.
No. So wait, as a waiter, let me just say this: This would often happen. Ladies would come in and they would order like a $40 filet mignon steak and then they would eat like not even half of it. And guess what, ladies? The waiters are eating that food because we're not going to throw away half a $40 filet mignon steak.
Like, right.
That's incredible food. We're eating it. We're back in the back. And for waiters listening who aren't doing this, you're not very good sustainitarians.
You're going to put it on the wait staff at the restaurant.
They should be more ecologically friendly.
You should be more aggressive where you, when someone looks like they're done at their dinner table,
just
be like,
are you done? Are you done? Are you done?
They'd be like, you don't want a doggy bag, right? You definitely don't, right? You should just leave that here. We will definitely not take it back and eat it ourselves.
And we love doing that too. Like we would just be like stuffing like, because it's such good food.
Yeah, of course.
And you're just like, housing it back in the wait table, and then you're like, you know, lick your fingers, and then you wipe your mouth, and then you kind of set yourself again, and then you walk out like you were just, you know,
you come out of tables like, what's good tonight? You're like, well, actually, I just had back there. It's on point tonight. The really chef good, really chef good. Jim, yeah. or whoever is Jim, on point. Yeah.
Jim is kicking butt today.
I was searching my brain for a French name, and Jim came out.
Jim
I
do not know how a that French happened. Name. No, it's not.
No, no. Jim.
So then after I finished my waiting job, I would then go get in my car and drive home. But on my way home, I would swing by behind Whole Foods, and it was right at like 10 o'clock, right? Mm-hmm. Because they were dumping their food. Mm-hmm. And they left the food like perfectly in perfectly clean, perfect bags.
Yeah.
And you could just reach in and pull them out. And then, you know, and then you take whatever you want and put them back and then put everything else back.
That brings up, because I do know that, like, I hear from people in the service industry, in the mm-hmm. I don't hear from, but yeah. I like see Twitter and stuff where people are writing, posting stuff. And they talk about how, like, their policy at their work is that they have to destroy it. Yeah, like destroy, they have to put it in lock. The thing and lock it yeah, up, or yeah, they have to yeah. like
it's changed.
Pour
it's
something changed. On it to make this sure no like one can
years,
eat it.
This was like 15 years ago.
It's now. So gross. Like just yeah. the idea of that, it's kind of like.
It's horrible. It's horrible. It's so gross. It should be illegal. I mean, this is the sustainitarian ethos. Mm. Instead of, you know, like PETA should be fighting. Now, if you're a vegan because you have an ethical belief in the welfare of the animal and you don't think we should be killing, that's totally different. We're not talking about
which
that.
Which is, I mean, that's a non-small great, chunk
that's
of
a lovely,
vegetarian
yes,
vegan.
Yes, yeah. And I'm fully in support. I love that.
Yeah.
This is more about just environmental, you know, environmental impact diet.
Yeah.
Trying to optimize kind of most environmental impact. But anyways, that should all be illegal. It should be illegal to destroy anything because it's worth something to someone.
More than being illegal to destroy it, because it's companies do what's easy. And so there should there should be an infrastructure to collect
right.
and distribute and give it to those someone things.
Because I definitely didn't need it. I had just done a weight shift.
But you
and
knew
made money.
Where it was, and you were like, this is going to absolute waste if I don't pick
I
it up.
I once pulled up an entire perfectly clean plastic, you know, garbage bag, but it's a perfectly clean plastic bag full to the brim, like a 10-gallon, you know, like a big...
What are you going
to
say?
It was Seduction bread, which is a $7 a loaf.
What is
seed bread that Whole Foods makes?
Oh.
It was fresh, baked that day. Absolutely amazing. I pulled that whole thing, put it in the back of my car, drove home. My entire freezer was full to the brim with Seduction bread. I ate Seduction bread for 2 months.
That's amazing.
It was the best breakfast
ever.
That is
such a wild. Could you imagine telling a baker, like, so much work and love goes into away. Like making a loaf of bread and be like, and this one, we're going to slice it, we're going to package it, we're going to throw it right in the garbage. The baker would be like, no, just don't make me do this.
Another time I pulled out an entire bag, just like that, like the full leaf size garbage bag, mm-hmm. full of individually packaged salmon fillets. Like high quality, you know, salmon fillets. Same thing. Threw it in the back of my car, froze all those mofos. I was eating salmon. I ate salmon for 3-4 weeks. I had salmon for dinner every day. Like each one was like a $12 piece of salmon.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Well,
it was
amazing. I brought up the cruise example earlier, but I mean, I did go on one of those during the past year. And that sounds like when I'm thinking in my mind, what would be the least, what are you calling it?
Sustainitarian.
Sustainitarian. Sorry. What would be the least sustainitarian place?
It's new, so it doesn't.
Possible. And I'm like, that felt like the cruise ship because it was just.
Oh, just waste.
You just go mass up, food waste. In yeah. any time. Yeah, it's just open and you just go get a plate of whatever, sit down, eat however much of you want, leave the rest of it and go. And I saw full plates.
Crazy waste.
Just, I saw crazy
enormous
food waste.
Amounts of it waste.
Was, yeah. And that is not something that like. All the people, the employees aren't like being like, okay, I'm going to eat this. They can't. They just, it just goes, it's just waste. It's crazy.
It's just total waste.
And this would be the opposite of that was what I'm saying. So I think the mentality, I love the mentality and it's a thing where you're never going to be perfect because and you can always improve on it. You know, you can always be thinking toward how do I make my life more sustainitarian? Where are my gaps that I can shore up? You know, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, the weird thing about it is that you can still eat meat, and the other weird thing about it is that you can eat leftovers from other people.
That the second one is definitely way more weird.
That is weird.
When you're talking about getting adoption widespread for people in public, I think the meat thing gives you traction and makes it so that like people who were like, I can't be vegetarian, could be like, well, maybe I could do that.
Yeah,
but
permission
to eat leftovers off of others' plates is okay, but like. Trying to make that one of the tenets would be like, and now you look around your
when you
restaurant and you grab first, stuff if they are sitting
you
there.
Look, whenever you get up from a restaurant, you look around.
When a plate of fries goes past
now,
you,
if
just
something's
snag
really
one.
Gross and messed up, you don't have to eat that. But if something's like pretty, like nobody really got in there, then that's all you.
Be careful. Be careful about soups. Like half a soup is a little bit tricky because it's all one thing.
Yeah, they put their mouth right.
So we don't recommend soups, but
but definitely like a steak where they were eating it with a knife and they were cutting away and they left the rest of the steak.
Bread baskets, prime real estate.
Because each one's a unique individual thing, right? So of course.
Just go over there and chug the pepper shaker, the salt shaker. No, wait, that's probably too far. Those will be useful later.
No, those will be useful later, yeah.
Plus, and no one wants to chug a pepper shaker.
Hey, man. Some of us chug pepper shakers.
That's my jam, actually.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. So I'm a sanitarian. I wanted to come up with like a controversial thing. I was told that our solutions aren't controversial enough. What do you think? Do you think our solutions are controversial enough?
I mean, they can cause controversy between us sometimes, but
that's true.
I think they're good. Messing with people's food is a thing that you'll get more of a pushback from some people than me. I'm pretty chill about it, but
yeah, me too.
But some people are like, no, you don't touch
veganism. The peak.
Yeah.
If you're vegan, that's the top. You're the saintliest of the saintly.
And on the other side too, where they're just like, you're not touching my slab of ribs I'm putting on this thing. You know,
I bought Costco steaks, which are not grass fed. They're not sustainable.
Right. So on both sides, there are people who are like, I'm definitely not changing because of someone else's idea what I like. But there are all those people are always going to exist in every arena.
Especially with food. Food people, man, it runs deep.
Hey.
I was vegetarian for 2 years in high school, and then I wasn't fully vegan, but I've always added like vegan food to my diet. Mm. Probably because I'm dairy intolerant, but yeah, I've always added vegan. Like I'll sit down and I'll be like, oh, this is a vegan meal. This is cool. And I eat a vegan meal. It feels good. You know, but I won't do it as a full diet just because it's just I'm big and I feel like I can't really sustain my health. I don't know how. I'll just trick it up to ignorance and say someone could probably teach me how to be a vegan fully.
I was just going to say, it sounds like it would be more work and it's just, you have to be on top of your stuff more. Like, you know,
whereas I just buy meat and then I cook it and then I put sides with it and that's my diet.
I was a vegetarian for 6 years right after coming back from Japan. Not vegan during any of that time, but you know, the idea that you can't do unhealthy stuff vegetarian is ridiculous. It's totally like, every cake and cookie is not vegan, including meat.
Oreos,
what are you gonna do?
Vegan. Yeah,
right. It's all vegan. So, but you can definitely do that. It's choice and it's making smart choices and that's one of the ways.
Well, that's getting into health, which is a whole other thing.
Well, one of the things, honestly, that you were talking about is why I stopped being, because I was being vegetarian in part because of my health, but in part because I'm like, I want to be out of the cycle of killing animals. And then you read like, oh, those giant farm things that are getting your lettuce are killing tons of animals. Like as they go through the fields and like indiscriminately just harvest things. You're like, you're not out of the animal killing business, bud. You're still in it.
Hard to avoid killing.
It makes, I think that made me make plans and make a backyard garden after that. I was like, I need to grow stuff. Because I know for sure that I'm not killing things.
Yeah, then you're growing it right. You see exactly the where idea, it's coming but from.
You can't, the regular person can't grow enough food for themselves. It's just not.
And a lot's going to go to waste. You know, when you do those farming, you get like an entire crop of tomatoes in 2 weeks and it all goes bad.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's like, if you don't have people to trade with or market to sell.
Right.
Oh, that's the issue.
So
I like it.
So I'll just say to the vegans out there, come at me, bro. But
type on your vegan computers and send us your vegan complaints.
That's right. We'll take it. Actually, I had a friend who's very vegan, and he was a part of a team trying to make the first ever vegan piano.
Okay. Oh, because
I guess all pianos use some animal products.
I mean, I know old like pianos, they use cat gut on the strings.
Yeah, strings.
I mean, that's kind of gross.
So they were part of a team trying to make a vegan. I thought that was really cool.
Sure.
Like, it's like a constraint. Let's let's push our innovation through these constraints.
I saw one, years ago, everyone was talking about the iPhone and how like unethical a lot of the production points are in the iPhone. And so they're like, what would an ethical smartphone be? And they like, someone made it and it was like, it had like wood cable. It was some ridiculous price and it had a very low functionality, but they were we did it. But
no rare earth metals or something.
That was the goal. It's like everything is sustainable. We've wrapped our society and our culture and our industries real tight around these things that also deplete our planet and mess up our environment.
It's interesting that when you tell people to like not consume as much, it kind of feels like it kind of feels like it's sort of hard, and it feels like you're really denying yourself. But when you focus on waste, I feel like people can get on board with that. Like people are like, yeah, let's like not waste as much. And then that just naturally leads to lowering consumption
because you're modifying. Yeah.
So it's like a less, it's like a way to promote anti-consumerism without being like,
it's like the back door
austerity.
To
austerity. Yeah. For sure. Instead of advocating for austerity, which is not fun. It's not fun to be like, you shouldn't be able to eat that. It's like, well, people should try to make their own decisions. But what if we try to get rid of waste?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice? Then we could kind of, maybe we could still enjoy a really, you know, whatever frivolous, fun stuff that's kind of self-indulgent, but not really have the real ecological costs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come down. Yeah. Maybe that's a sort of, a continuing thread in SFM, isn't it? Like this sort of get your cake and eat it too, sort of half the consequences kind of thing.
Well, that's what you want. If you're going to get people to adopt an idea, you want it to be attractive.
Yeah, you can't just be like
attractive,
you're
easy.
Bad. Yep. Although there's a lot of vegans out there and they generally propose it as a, like, you're bad if you don't do this.
I need to switch to sustainitarian with my book buying habits, I think, because I will, I will get like, oh, I need these books. And I act as if,
well, when does a book go to waste?
When it sits on my shelf for years, and I act like buying a book is the same as reading a book.
Is that wasted, a book on your shelf? No, it's inspiring. When you look at it, you're like, yeah, someday I'll read that.
Yes, I will one day.
And then when you die, someone can have it. It lasts, how long does a book last? Forever.
For, I guess.
Hundreds of years.
I have a beautiful copy of East of Eden on my bookshelf by Steinbeck. I have not cracked it once.
Boring. That's a super boring book.
And someone recommended it to me. Okay.
Boring.
Gee. Well, there I go. An anti-recommendation.
Yeah.
Well, now the book is a waste. Thank you. You've made me a worse sustainitarian.
Grapes of Wrath is pretty good. But yeah, Steinbeck is boring. Everyone, okay, sorry, Steinbeck heads. Just chill out.
Bro, the vegans and the Steinbeck
heads. I know.
You are poking bears today.
The Beckitarians and the vegans. God damn. I better just step off.
We should, maybe we should end this before we get too many more factions of warring.
Wait, who should we fight with now?
Of warring people coming at us.
Well, you were saying
no one, no more.
Oh, come on, we gotta. This is supposed to be controversial. We were told that these podcast episodes need to be more controversial.
Well, who told you that? I want to fight with that person. That's who I want to fight.
She was really smart. She was like kind of a marketer person. She was like, your podcast is really good, but needs to be more controversial.
All right, I can't fight a smart. I was thinking
marketer. maybe we should pivot and join the Manosphere.
The Manosphere.
You know the Manosphere.
I don't know the Manosphere. You're lucky. I don't know that I want to.
You don't want to. I'm
there's a name that pops into my head. Is it Andrew Tate? Oh boy. Yeah, no, okay, I do horrible. Know.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you is right. Or Crowder, Stephen Crowder. These are truly human, like human trash. Human trash. Just really awful.
And you're saying we should join?
Well, they're
very
successful. Crowder has like 6 million followers on YouTube. But also, it came.
Your whole
out,
thing is about not making more trash, and now you're wanting us to become human trash.
Well, media trash.
Talk about not sustainable.
How is media trash wasteful? It's not really wasteful. But it turns out all this stuff just came out with Stephen Crowder with the Daily Wire. So they had this big blow up where they had a public. Fight about a contract. Did you hear about this?
I did not hear.
Oh,
about
yeah,
this.
Yeah. It's like it's showing just that basically all these right wing media things. People, they act like they're like against the man and like fighting the elites and like that they're self funded and they're demonetized. But turns out it's all they're all funded by billionaires who just shadow behind the scenes, like anonymously give money to then support these like, you know, polemical, you know, right wing stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all coming out in this like. Tete-a-tete, this kind of, you know, fight. It's pretty cool to watch, actually, from like a centrist leftist sort of perspective. It's like, wow, all the trash that we thought was happening is happening for sure.
I mean, I didn't know about any of this until the recent Andrew Tate thing he like took a swing at Greta Thunberg on Twitter, and she just obliterated him back.
Yeah,
and then he was like, and he made a lame comeback to it, and that lame comeback
he made
got
a video.
Him.
Yeah, yeah.
He got
yeah,
it was a picture with a pizza box, and it got him arrested in Romania. And I'm like, bud, you couldn't have made a bigger fail. That's hilarious.
And that's why you recycle pizza boxes. That was.
But that's
that
only,
was that was
this
Thunberg's,
is where
that was Thunberg's Twitter back.
His name.
That was her
I don't
tweet.
Know who that,
that was her tweet at the end.
Oh yeah.
That's why you recycle your pizza boxes.
But
I heard the
mess with
I heard the pizza
social
box
media.
Thing was not true though. I heard the pizza box thing was a bit of a.
Oh,
a sort of a you know,
but
like
it's so.
I know
it's a fun story detail.
Mwah. Mwah. You want to be like an Italian
you
chef.
Mwah. I love
perfect,
those.
But it that's what spreads virally is things that are satisfying like
yes.
that. But I guess the Romanians were just already on his ass. They were already already chasing him.
Well, yeah. It's a nice story.
But he's getting pummeled now, which is good because he's a monster. Well, but yeah, the whole Maniverse, the whole thing with the Maniverse is you need to be compassionate to the young men who are struggling in our society for largely because of capitalism, but also because of kind of the new, you know, global society that we have. They're struggling. And that you have to have compassion for that. At the same time, we have to really be critical of these like horrible misogynistic jerks who then come in to the rescue to these men. So it's a really gnarly situation. We need to do a lot more for men. Here's a crazy fact. The difference in educational achievement for women 30 years ago when we passed Title IX, mm-hmm. which was what made women have to have all this, you know, forced equal, equality.
Equal funding in universities. Yeah.
The difference between men's achievement then and women's achievement now is greater. So men have a 15-point lower achievement than girls, boys do. Mm-hmm. Back then, girls had only a 13-point lower achievement than men.
Oh.
So actually, now we're at a worse state with our men than our women.
Maybe it's because men are spending their time listening to dum-dums like Steven Crowder instead of doing normal things.
Well, what might actually have happened is we might have found out that women were being held back because they weren't allowed to like get educated and allowed. And then it turns out that when we let them, they're just way better than men and everything. Yeah. So they're achieving way higher. And it's not that the men went down. It's that the women set the bar so high that the men now are like, you know.
Well, and it also makes sense. A society that's like dampening down women is also kind of falsely bumping up guys.
And then when
that shakes out, it's kind of like, oh, wait, I feel both things at the same time. I thought I would only feel one.
Yeah. But, and it might be, some critics are saying we might be actually bumping down men and up women now. Like there's an advantage, like where women have a kind of, just for structural reasons, you know, like there's more women PhDs right now, more women doctors right now. There's more women graduate college, more women apply to college, get into college, like way vast. It's way swung towards women. So, oh, there's another thing. STEM jobs. Have you heard of STEM?
Yep.
Have you ever heard of HEAL?
No.
HEAL is healthcare education AL. I don't know what the A and L are. But anyways, there are these kind of jobs that are actually super dominated by women. So STEM is dominated by men, but HEAL is actually dominated by women. And HEAL jobs are on track to triple when STEM jobs only double over the next whatever 100 years. So it's an interesting, or 20 years. So yeah. Anyways, there's a whole, maybe we do a whole separate episode on kind of the men, women. We have to come up with a solution for it.
That would have to kind of start fudging back the other way. Cause it's not like we're going to triple the number of women over the number of men in the next 30 years.
Yeah. You'd have to start training men. But in America, men have to say, I want to be a nurse. I want to be a speech pathologist. Yeah. And men are not saying that.
Well, and we have.
And we're training.
The men have built this self-imposed patriarchy thing that says men can't be a nurse, and then they wonder, men don't want to be
nurses? How do I get a $90,000 a year job where I can travel wherever I want and have a great job and be my own boss? Oh, you could be a nurse. It's a great job.
Yeah. You got to fight. We did some dumb stuff in the past where we were like, these jobs are for these people, and these jobs are for these people, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, dude.
Well, maybe we'll come up with a solution for that in the future.
Yeah, we've moved a little way away, but sustainability.
We'll solve all gender issues.
Give us enough podcast episodes, and we can promise, right?
Actually, I do have an idea for that.
Monkeys on typewriters. Mm. Eventually, we'll hit the right one.
Stupid monkeys. It was the best of times. It was the blurst of times. I think that's a double take. I think I've done that.
I think you have one before.
So okay, maybe we'll get a hat trick one day where I do
the triple burns
impression. Yeah,
nice.
All right, so we sign off.
I think so.
Thanks everybody for listening.
Hey, be sustainable, everyone.
Yeah, sustainitarian.
Think about
how to get rid of waste.
Yeah, focus on reducing your waste, and that'll just kind of affect the top of the funnel anyway.
It's like
I love it.
Or orioki is the Japanese word for it. Just enough.
And I'll just start collecting my trash and maybe putting it in my
bedroom.
No, that's not gonna help.
Put it in your bedroom.
Put it in my bedroom.
Put in your mattress.
Oh, I have a story. I cannot launch into it now, but it's fun.
But now you've got to do it. All right.
Well, I had a friend in Japan who lived in a tube. His board of education got him an apartment, and his apartment had two bedrooms, and he didn't understand the trash system.
Okay.
That you have to separate your trash in Japan like pretty severely. And the trash bags that you have to buy special trash bags at the store. They cost a lot of money, and that's how they fund the trash collection. You don't pay a trash garbage fee. You do it by buying the bags. But the bags are clear, and if the garbage person comes by and looks in your clear bag of recycling and sees trash, or looks in your compost bin and sees like plastic, they're going to put it back on your doorstep and be like, here you go, figure it out. Don't do it again. We're not taking that. And so he got his trash returned a couple times and was so embarrassed by like, I don't understand how this works at all.
Yeah, they're not taking my trash.
For a year, he just started putting his trash in bags and putting it in his second bedroom. And he filled his entire bedroom with bags of trash and recycling that he didn't know. I don't think he put any food waste in there. He figured that part out, but like just dry trash and recycling. An entire bedroom full, floor to ceiling, like wall to wall with bags of this stuff. It was so, we opened it up and we're like, Paul, what are you doing? He's like, I don't understand the trash, dude. I don't get it.
And he wouldn't just ask?
Nope. It had gotten to a point where he was just like, this is my life now. We'll do this.
That's the garbage version of not pulling over for directions.
He's like, I'll move back to Canada at some point. Someone else will have to figure this out. I don't understand. It'll just be gone. I'll be gone. This poor guy.
He's not wrong. I mean, he has the extra room.
Some friends came over. We actually helped him sort it through. We understand the trash system. Let's not do this.
Yeah, let's get some.
Don't live in a house of trash, please.
On that note, do not live in a house of trash.
Please, people,
that's the idea for today.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Love it.
Sleep tight.
Bye.